do you have a sense that you experience the protection of God? Well, the psalm we read for the day, Psalm 91, is really a psalm for us all. It's part of the promises of God. I mean, there are absolutely hundreds of promises of our God in Holy Scripture for our lives, both in the Old and New Testaments. There are promises that come from the Old Testament that are for those who are faithful to the Lord, and there are promises in the New Testament for those who are Christians. And the passage we hear quoted in Matthew is a passage the devil is using to tempt Jesus, but the passage in Psalm 91 is a passage that assures us of a trusting relationship with God, a God who will do all kinds of things for us, but he will also protect us. Listen again to some of these things. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God wants to be our refuge when we need a place of refuge. And because we have made the Lord our God, the Most High, our habitation, then no evil shall befall you or scourge come near your tent. That God is extending his protection to us. Not in the absolute sense that nothing will ever happen to us bad, but when we are in an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, Abba God, then we have a kind of protection that people don't have who do not recognize his name. And then we hear that passage that's used with Jesus. For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all of your ways. Isn't that a comforting thought? On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. And then a very strange verse, if we understand Old Testament language. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. And I will protect him because he knows my name. These two words, to cleave and to know, are words that go all the way back to the creation story and talk about the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. God is saying, if you are intimately related to me, if you cleave to me with the kind of closeness you do in the marriage relationship, if you know me as intimately as you know your marriage partner, then I'm there for you. But you see, it requires a bit from us. It requires our commitment to this Most High God. If we're going to fully experience his protection, then we need to be in an intimate relationship with him. For that reason, Jesus could go into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and be assured that anything that comes his way, knowing that he's not only fasting, but he's going there to encounter Satan. That right at the beginning of his ministry, he is going to encounter his greatest adversary. He's going to stand up to the one who can really undercut his ministry. So he goes into the wilderness for those 40 days. And when he has gone through just the trial of the fasting and the prayer, we hear about three specific temptations. from Satan, that are temptations that are common to the temptations we experience in our lives, but Jesus knows he has the protection of Almighty God. Now, it's important for us to realize that because the Son of God became human, became man, that he was vulnerable to sin. It was possible that Jesus could sin. I mean, that was the whole reason of him coming in human form, to take on the challenges of life that all of us experience in our daily lives. But he did it through faith in that Most High God. He accomplished resisting sin, not because he was the Son of God, but because as the Son of God, he trusted completely in the protection of his Abba Father. He could resist sin, and so can we. Now, the first sin that comes his way, after you've been fasting for 40 days, is a physical sin. And the sin was not in the fact that he was hungry. The sin was that he would use his special relationship with the Heavenly Father to turn a stone into a loaf of bread. That he would use his position of privilege to take advantage of something we could not take advantage of in our experience. But out of his faithfulness to the Father had gotten him this far, the Father would see him through, and he resisted the challenge of the devil. Because he knew God's protection and love, his abiding love was with him. And he was able to resist that physical temptation to satisfy his hunger. And he did this by quoting the fact that man shall not live by bread alone. I mean, if we go to the Old Testament and we look at the passage from Deuteronomy, we find this in a bigger context. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 8:3. Moses is telling the people, he humbled you by letting you be hungry. Then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. You see, it has a much different flavor when we read it in context. That God answered the needs of his people wandering in the wilderness with something that had never been experienced before. Why? Because God was their protector. Often when a teacher or a prophet quoted a verse, they expected people, most of whom did not know how to read, had memorized enough of Scripture that they would know the context of that Scripture. That it was not just a statement, man shall not live by bread alone, but a reminder of what God did for his people when they were wandering in the wilderness. How God protected his people then, how God was going to protect Jesus in that moment with Satan, and how God will protect us in our moments when we are tempted by things to satisfy the flesh, our physical needs. God knows what we need. Jesus taught us, don't be anxious about what you eat and what you wear, how you look, how you appear to other people. God knows what you need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things you need will be provided for you. God is our protector. So when we're tempted by things physical, you know, our clothes, our food, the kind of house we live in, the kind of car we drive, anything connected to our physical being, this God, if we have an intimate relationship with Him, is going to take care of us. He will be our protector. Now, the second temptation that came to Jesus is one that comes to us as well. I think this was a temptation concerning power. Concerning power. He was shown all of the kingdoms of this world. And we know, according to the Gospel of John, that Satan is the ruler of this present age, that he is the one that was thrown down from heaven. Where was he thrown down to? Thrown down to earth. And he is the ultimate ruler of this present age, as long as there is a present age. One day there's not going to be a present age. It's all going to be the kingdom of God. But until that time, Satan is the ruler. And he shows Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus came to save the whole world. He knew that was Jesus' mission. And the temptation was, here's an easy way to conquer in the world. But it wasn't his mission. It wasn't his Father's call and claim upon his life. It wasn't what Abba God wanted. But you see, Satan knew if he would worship him, then he would also have to serve him. You see, worship and serve are the same word. We don't really come here and worship unless we're willing to go out there and serve. We don't really worship by getting all stirred up emotionally and feeling good unless that humbles us to serve one another. If service isn't connected to the worship, we haven't worshiped at all. And Satan knew that. To fall down and worship Satan means Jesus would belong to him and no longer belong to Abba Father. And Jesus told him right from scriptures, you shall worship only the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. That worship and service go together. That's undeniable. So the heights of our worship ought to reflect the depths of our service in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we get high on worship, we ought to get high on serving others in Jesus' name. Remember, we are not simply human beings. We were spoken forth by God before the foundation of the world. We are the living Word of God. We're not the Word. Jesus was the Word become flesh. But each one of us here, from the smallest child to the oldest person, is without doubt a word of God spoken forth for a purpose in this world today, and that purpose comes through worship and serving. Are you worshiping and serving? You can, because you're under the protection of the Most High God. And with His help, you can not only praise His name, you can serve Him in the most amazing ways that maybe you haven't even thought about, if you remember who you are. You're a word spoken forth into a living being. He spoke you forth. He named you. You know, when I was thinking about this in my head, I said, you know, I guess, you know, I mean, God can probably speak every language, and I don't know whether he spoke things forth in Hebrew or not. That seems to be what we would think if we studied Scripture. You know, I got to wonder, I wonder what my name would be in Hebrew. I mean, when he spoke us forth, he spoke forth a word. He spoke forth a unique word of who we are. Waiting for that time in human history when we were born through our parents. But we were surely a word of God for the world. Jesus knew that. And he would only worship and serve the Most High God. And the last temptation that comes our way is not about our power to be who we are and be tempted by the power things of life. Because, you know, it's so sad to me that people spend a lifetime wanting to feel important and powerful when in reality we are important and powerful because we were spoken forth by God. We get tempted to use the world's way to experience power and importance rather than realizing by our very nature we are powerful human beings when we recognize that we were spiritual beings before we became human beings. And we will always be spiritual beings. How we use our power, how we live under the protection of God, depends on whether we're going to be with him for eternity or with Satan. That's power, to live and make that choice. And finally, Satan comes along with his last temptation to Jesus after he had been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, had already tried attacking him two ways. He uses scriptural promises to try to use the very thing that Jesus has been using to fight him with, Scripture, to tempt him. And we need to recognize that as a very real issue in the life of the church. Again, in the Gospel of John, see, by the time John's Gospel was written, the church had been around a while. And they were very much aware of the problems of the church. And John tells us that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light within the community. That the best way to destroy the church is to convince people they're doing God's good work by messing up his church. By judging others, by criticizing others, by gossiping and sowing seeds of destruction in the life of the church. Constant complaining and griping about things. And thinking, oh, I'm doing this because I love my church. That's a part of the temptations of the devil working in our lives and in the life of our church and other churches. That's a reality we have to deal with as long as we're here. That we cannot misuse the promises of God the way the devil wants us to. So the devil quoted Psalm 91 after he had taken Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and challenged him to do something absolutely spectacular. Trust the promise of God. God, your God, the one you keep quoting me, said, you know, he'll not let anything hurt you. That his angels will lift you up. You've got nothing to lose. You know him better than anybody else. Go ahead and do it. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. How often do we play into the hands of the devil because we want to take God's promises and claim them for ourselves, but we don't want the responsibilities that go with it? Oh, God promised us this and that if we believe. God wants this and that for us. And we justify what we do to fulfill the needs of the flesh or our needs for power. God really wants this for me. You know, here are some promises in the scripture that it says it's okay for me to do this and that and want this and that and have this and that. Are we misusing God's promises to justify what we do day by day rather than turning to God as Jesus always did and let Almighty God, Abba Father, direct His paths? How often do we tempt the Lord our God trying to claim the good when we're not really willing to take on the responsible thing in His Word? That's a temptation for us all. We all want that good stuff. But what about the responsibility God gives each of us as one of His words spoken forth for this world in this time? In this place or a place near here. Just like Jesus, we're tempted every day. Hebrews says He was tempted but without sin. He was like us in every way, but He always felt He was under the protection of the Most High God because He cleaved to Him and knew Him intimately. Do you experience the protection of God in your life? You can, just like Jesus did, just like thousands of the saints have, if we develop that relationship with Abba Father. Let us pray. Lord God, we know we're so weak, but Your Word says You have pity on us. You said You'll provide us all of our needs out of Your riches in glory. We just have to learn to cleave to You, to hold on to You. Not just grab You when we're desperate, but to hold Your hand throughout our days and nights. To be in an intimate, loving relationship that transcends any human relationship. To know You with that kind of intimacy. Then, and only then can we go forth with confidence that we will experience Your divine protection in our lives. Bless us with the assurance of that knowledge to know You intimately as Abba Father. Have pity upon us and extend Your loving arms to embrace us, that we might have that close, intimate relationship always. In the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, we pray, Amen.